Again, because I think many of you were there, but I do want to, I told you that I would have some things that would, I think, offer some insight into the elders that I think you'll find very helpful. I'll say this from the very beginning, that, and I didn't really share this too much on Sunday morning a few weeks ago, because it's kind of presumed that the elders, each one of them, do a lot of individual shepherding with people, and it really is time consuming. It just takes a lot of their time. And so when I had first thought about the idea, the idea of stepping down for a season, and Christine and I talked about it, we talked with Phil and the other elders, that was honestly, that was really kind of the number one thing that was on my mind is, it wouldn't be fair for me to say I'm an elder and then not shepherd, you know, individually with people. So that was really the biggest concern, because I've had a few people ask me, you know, couldn't you still do what you're doing now, even though, you know, you're spending more time with your wife and, you know, that sort of thing. And the answer is I could, but I would really be neglecting a lot of individual shepherding that I do. And so I that was honestly, that really was one of the biggest reasons I stepped down. Hi, Polly. Good to see you, by the way. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you guys from the outset. So be praying for, and really what this means is for these four other elders that are listed here, literally, guys, they're picking up the slack on that. The people that I'm not ministering with this next year, somebody else has to do that, or it gets dropped, or it gets kind of shifted, the best that they can shift it, to perhaps deacons or other people that are godly men and women. And I know a lot of you guys, actually several of you guys, do biblical counseling as well. And rightfully so. That's just like I think Phil was reading or Cliff was reading. That's the work of the ministry. And so it's important that we as a family, brothers and sisters, as we sit here, it's important that we share that load, share that burden with one another. I know some things, you know, clearly take the elders to do, but most other things, they really don't. They could actually be done by many of you, and you are in fact doing those as well. Well, so I begged the question, or I asked the question last Sunday night, why elders lead? Why do they actually have to lead? And I really kind of bounced and landed on Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And I know our time is short, and I'll move quickly through this, because I'm going to get to some things that you guys can think about that will hopefully give you some insight into the life of an elder, if you will, if you don't already know, and some ways that you can be praying. And that really is the purpose behind that. Titus 1:9 says this, "He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Rebuke those who contradict the sound doctrine that we all have. And I will tell you, here's a little insight. Don't quote me on these numbers, because I'm just going to throw out a percentage to you. And some of you men here I know have been elders here before, you know, from years past. I would venture to guess 90% of the conversation that the elders have when we go into an elders meeting is about sin. It's about the sin in the lives of people. That's the conversation that we have. So if you kind of think about that as someone who's sitting here and as me this next year as a non-elder, what's one of the things that I immediately think of that I want to do for our elders? I want to encourage them, because they're hearing about all the garbage that's in people's lives. And honestly, I don't think, in fact, I can confidently say the elders don't hear about most of the garbage, most of the sin that's in people's lives. In fact, oftentimes, we as individuals don't even share the sins that are in our lives, be it with elders or even with others or even our spouse, if you're married. We keep those things to ourselves. And I'm not saying, you know, take those sins and start, you know, spurting them out and sharing them with people, you know, so I'm not saying that. Use your discernment. But be quick to recognize there are brothers and sisters sitting at your tables that want to carry that burden with you, that want to hold you accountable. They want to be held accountable. So we need to be quick to do that and trust one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are, as a family right here, as we sit here, we are closer than your unsaved siblings that you may have, or your unsaved parents that you may have, or your unsaved children that you may have. That's how close we are as a family. Especially when you think about the holidays. I'm getting way off, but as you think about the holidays coming around, that's why oftentimes we go, man, I'd like to be able to handpick the people that come over to my house for Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know, and typically we think of people that would be sitting right here, who is really who we want to invite. And oftentimes we do that, but bear in mind too, we also have an obligation to go and share the gospel, and what better way than to share the gospel on a day of Thanksgiving and praise, in other words, the day of Thanksgiving, or the day of Christmas when we celebrate that. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give sound instruction and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Let me read for you the next few verses after this, because I'm going to hone in on two phrases in these next, four verses. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Listen to this. Here's the reason why they must hold to a firm doctrine and refute those who contradict. Here comes the reason why. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced. There's imperative number one. That's not an option for an elder. Well, we'll try to keep them toned down. You know, we'll try to kind of keep an eye on them and maybe sit close to them so they don't really disrupt. No, they must be silenced. And we've already looked at how they're going to do that through correct doctrine. That's how they're silenced. There's number one. That's in verse 11. Let me continue with verse 11. They must be silent since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. Verse 12, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. In other words, one of the prophets was saying about the Cretans isn't so much the fact of the essence of what he's saying is true, but the fact that that's what he's saying. And he's passing it off like it's true. That's what Paul's point is to Timothy, right, or to Titus right there. Verse 13, therefore, rebuke them sharply. So here's the two imperatives that as elders that they have. They must be silenced. They must silence people that teach an error doctrine and an errant doctrine, and they must rebuke them sharply. There's the two things that our elders do that most of you never see. You just won't see it. Mostly you won't see it. Periodically you'll hear of it. You may catch a glimpse of it, but you typically won't be directly involved with it. So how do we pray for them? And really, here's what I want you guys to think about, as I've given you just 10 things that I've come up with that I've learned over the last, well, I think 10 years of being an elder. Here's how we pray for them. And I listed these because this was my heart. If I wanted you to pray for me, the things that I've gone through in the last 10 years, the difficulties of being an elder, and guys, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not glamorous. It's not, yeah, this is fun. It has joy, but it's difficult, and it's taxing, and it's wearing on families. And I don't even have any kids really at home. I mean, all my kids are raised. Number one, you want to read between the lines on all these? These are my struggles. These are my struggles. Here it is. Pray for their love for Jesus Christ. You want to read between that line? I struggle with that. I want to love Christ, but I struggle with that. As their love for Christ increases, so will their love for the Word of God and their love for us. So we want to pray for our elders that they will love Christ. Because it's easy to get so busy with, you know, the sin that goes on, and we've got to take care of this situation. We need to work on the child safety document. We need to do this. I mean, you guys heard all the administrative stuff that goes on that the elders do, administratively that the elders are doing. Pray for their love for Jesus Christ. Number two, pray that our elders are students of the Word. Typically, an elder that studies is also an elder that leads a secluded life. It takes a lot of hours and time away from their families. Don't think, for example, someone like John, well, pick an elder that we have, any one of the four that we have. Don't think that they have just, boy, all the time in the world, and they just sit around and they just study. That's a life of being secluded, because you need the quietness. One of the things I have learned to do in the last, I think literally last year, is I get up awfully early. Typically, honestly, about 4 to 4:15 in the morning, every morning. And it's not that, oh, good, I get to get up early, you know. Honestly, I don't want to. But I recognize that is a quiet time. And I've only got me and my wife and Corey, who's half the time is at work. But it is a quiet time. There's no noise. It's quiet. And so I can read and I can study. It's a wonderful time. But it means a life of being secluded from your families in many, many ways. Number three, pray that we, I say we being the congregation, will submit to them, the elders. Since we know there is wisdom in the counsel of many, let's pray that they will, that we will tap their resource of knowing God's word. Phil, Cliff, I just picked those two guys because they've been to seminary. They know their Bible well. And I know many of you know your Bible well, people that were preachers or other former elders. Deacons, there are a lot of us that know our Bible well. We have a great resource. Tap them. Utilize them. Especially someone, I don't say this to kind of, you know, make Phil all puffed up. Honestly, I don't, and he knows that. But he's got an exceptional mind that memorizes God's word well. And you guys, I think you guys know that because we hear it every Sunday. His ability to retain. Cliff's the same way. It has a great ability to retain. I struggle with that. So I have to go back and tap them as a resource as well. Utilize them. Those are the elders, especially those two, in terms of their minds of knowing doctrine, understanding it, remembering it, where to find it in Scripture. Those are resources that God has given us. And be ready to submit to them. And, you know, we're not called to blindly submit just to elders. We're not called to do that blindly. Because you could have an elder that's wrong. You could have an elder that's ungodly. You could have an elder that's not even saved. I've been part of that before in a different church with an elder who I believe was not even saved. It's incumbent upon us to know God's word, like the Bereans, right, in Acts. They looked at the scriptures to see if what these guys were saying was true. We have to be students of God's word as well. We have to do that. That's number four, or number three, pray that we will submit to them. Number four, pray for their marriage. All of our elders are married. The life of an elder can take a serious toll on a marriage. Oftentimes, the elder's wife feels, an elder's wife, you guys tell me if you're going to go, oh, that's not true at all, because I think it is. Oftentimes, the elder's wife feels like the sheep that gets no attention. Oftentimes, she's right. It's so easy for us as elders, because of the joy of serving, we want to, I mean, wow, guys. We want to go and serve the congregation, and the times that I've heard my own wife say, Mark, you're so quick to go and do that, but what about here? And it's like, hurt, and she's right. I have to put on the brakes and say, wow, she's right. I am quick to go do that. I love to do that, and I have to pull back and say, "Wait a minute! I've got one of the a member of a con, of my congregation that's in my home that I have to shepherd as well." And it's just easy. It's easy as elders to neglect our wives. It just is easy to do that, guys. I'm telling you, and we have to really guard against that. So pray for their marriage. Pray for their families. How many times have we witnessed an elder's child go astray? Again, the elder's family can often, elder's family often pays a serious price. I didn't say seldom, I didn't say rarely, I didn't say, it hardly ever happens. I said oftentimes, an elder or a pastor's family pays a serious price for their ministry. And we've all heard the joke, oh, they're a PK, that's a PK, a preacher's kid, that's a PK, no wonder they're acting up. We say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, and it's kind of funny, because but there's a hint of seriousness about that. Oftentimes, the family of an elder or pastor is neglected. And I don't mean a serious neglect like, you know, no food. I don't mean that. You guys know what I mean. They're neglected spiritually because the pastor or the elder is so busy with the congregation. So we need to pray for them, for those elders, with especially little like Phil, with little kids at home. Man, those little kids, and Phil knows it well. We all know it if we've had small kids. They need our attention. Men, we need to be priests of our home. Phil, even though he is the, I almost said senior pastor, sorry. Even though he is the Sunday morning primary preaching pastor, he is still a priest of his home. That's a lot of P's. But he is the primary preaching pastor. He's still the priest of his home. And he cannot neglect being the priest of his home for our sake. He needs to be that. That's his calling. Pray for their families. Pray for them, number six. Pray for them to be encouraged. Or pray for them for encouragement. And I already shared this with you initially. About 80-90% of the conversation in an elder's meeting is about sin in the lives of people. As we know, sin is gripping, and we are a stubborn people. We don't like change, especially when it comes to giving up on sin. I think it was Cliff that said a few weeks ago, sin is fun. It really is. I mean, let's be honest. Sin is, that's why we do it. That's why we like it, because it's enjoyable on the surface. We don't like change. Sin is enjoyable for a season, which is why we like it so much. But we need to be firm in our conviction that we need to be Christ-like and rid ourselves of that sin. Put on, put off. That's what we need to be doing. So pray for the elders, pray for those notes of encouragement. And by the way, we get those periodically. But here it is, marked to us, right? They're periodically. 80% of the verbal things, I'm just throwing, this is my number is all, 80% of the verbal things that people say to the elders, have said to me, are not words of encouragement. They're actually words of a sin, of discouragement. Why don't we do this? How come we're not doing this? How come this program isn't going on? Why do we do this program? I mean, some of those questions are pretty good, but honestly, they can be a little bit discouraging. So be an encourager to the elders, because they're under a lot of pressure. That's taxing on their families. So be an encourager. Be one, and I've had to work with some of the adult leaders when I did the varsity thing. Be the one that when a student comes, I mean, this is what I used to tell my leaders. Be the one that when a student comes in that door, because we used to be in here, they'd come into that door on a varsity on a Sunday night. Be the adult that student sees that goes, oh, I want to go talk to that adult, because they're always encouraging to me. You don't want to be the adult that they look at you and go, oh, I've got to go the other way. Because there's nothing but trouble with that person. You don't want to be that. Don't be that person. Be the one that attracts people to you. You want to be that encourager to people. Number seven, pray that we as a congregation will actually seek their counsel. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to start seeking their counsel. Pray. Say, Lord, help me to go and seek their counsel. I just shared with somebody, I think last night or yesterday, could have been Friday, and it had to do with kind of the same thing. It was the same idea, and that is about the idea of loving God's word. Do you love God's word? And I was sharing this with one of our men here, and the honest answer, and I knew his answer, wasn't no. It was no, I don't really love God's word. And I know that. I understand that because I was there. So I had to be able to say to him, here's what you have to do, because I understand that. I've been there. You have to say, Lord, I don't love your word. I know I'm supposed to. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to love your word, but I don't. Lord, help me to love your word. And you'd be surprised, honestly, guys, you'd be surprised how faithful God is to start to develop in your mind a love for his word. I mean a love for his word, where you're wanting to read it, you're wanting to study it. When Phil's preaching, you're taking copious notes. When or who's ever in the pulpit, you're intent, you're listening, you're engaged. I know what it's like to be distracted even during sermons. I get distracted. I think, literally, I'm distracted just about every Sunday. Just something catches my attention, you know, shiny thing, and I'm looking around, and it's like, whoa, 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 stay. Especially with Phil, because he moves, you know, he's right there. And so you've got to stay engaged with him. So pray, say, Lord, help me in my concentration that I can actually follow along. pray that we seek their counsel. I read through Proverbs every day. And that, if you read through Proverbs every day, you start hitting, you find so many Proverbs about what a wise man does. And one of those things a wise man does, because it's mentioned several times, is they seek the counsel of other godly people. That's what they do. Read through Proverbs. It's all in there. Quite amazing. All right. Number 8, pray for our elders in terms of biblical counseling. Pray that other godly people continue to make themselves known to our elders so they can be used in counseling. Literally what I mean by that is oftentimes different things that that our congregation's going through, individual counseling, there is literally not enough hours in the day for our elders to say, okay, I'm going to start counseling with them. I'm going to meet with that couple, or I'm going to meet with that individual. And I'll just do that like one night a week or maybe once every 2 weeks. If this next year there are 4 elders. You guys do the math on that. See what that looks like in a man's schedule. Especially if someone like Phil or Cliff Phil working full-time, Cliff working 3/4 time or 30, 40 hours a week, whatever he's doing in here. Take a look at that schedule for the home life and see what that looks like. You know, Cliff's got a little bit of advantage. He has no kids at home. Phil's got a boatload. So what do you do with that? I mean, literally, we are taking time away from his family. And I'm telling you, I hear Phil a lot. Him telling us elders about the counseling that he's doing during the weeknight, and that raises a red flag. It's like, whoa, 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 time out. How much time are you spending at home? How much time? And, you know, he's a big boy. He can guard his time. I recognize that. But I have a problem when I find out that on a Sunday afternoon, he's working on his sermon for Sunday night. And it's not because he is slothful with his time during the week. It's because he got busy with his time during the week with shepherding things. And so as a lay elder, we have to kind of step back and look, okay, wait a minute. How are you doing on your time? What is it you're taking on that you ought to be passing off to another elder or to other people in this congregation that do Christian counseling? We need to be sensitive to that. How we doing? Number nine. I only have two more. Pray that our elders continue to seek out others within our congregation to be used in ministry. Now, that's not just biblical counseling specific. That literally means to be used in ministry. This is just what I wrote. These are my thoughts. I wrote this down. Oftentimes, the elders struggle in this area. An elder's tendency is to do the work of the ministry themselves. There are some reasons for this. First, they have a desire to serve. So in the first place, they often look to themselves to see if they can squeeze it into their own schedule. And I use that term very specifically, squeeze it in, because it's a tight squeeze. Because they're running out of days of the week. A lot of you guys know my schedule. It's actually pretty rare that I'm home on a weekday. It's during the evening time. That's pretty rare, quite frankly. And that's just me. I mean, the other elders, they're busy as well too. So pray that other folks, people like yourselves, where can I serve? I want to help people with biblical counseling. You know, we have a lot of opportunities to serve to actually be trained in that. Areas we can help people, you know, as a congregation, as individuals. So there's a marriage that's struggling. Hey, Phil, elders, what can I do? Could me and my wife somehow come along them? They're you know, younger than us. We've been married. We've got a few more years behind us. We've got kids that are, 10 years older than their kids. How can I come alongside them and help them? Do you have some resources that I could use? Because I don't really know tons. But I want to mentor them. And I did a whole seminar at the men's conference on mentoring. And it's far different than just discipleship. It's mentoring. It's literally, God's word says this. Let me show you how this looks like in the life of a Christian. Pretty simple to do, quite frankly. And you see a lot of that, again, in Proverbs. You'll see that. Secondly, in terms of this praying for the elders to look for people within the ministry. Secondly, it can be discouraging to identify those who may be qualified within our congregation for the task, only to have them not available or perhaps even unwilling to do the work. You'd be amazed how often, in the 10 years that I've been an elder, how often I've actually run into that. You approach somebody and go, wow, this person is gifted. They are gifted this way, and they have the talent or the skill set for that. And boy, you put those two things together, and there is a pattern for successful ministry. And you approach them with that. No, I'm done with that. Oof, I did that for a lot of years. No, I'm not doing that anymore. And you just go, wow. Because that is a great resource to have. So we need to be praying that the elders and that we even recognize people who are gifted in a particular area. Fire off an email to the elders and say, hey, there is this couple that they've been mentoring with us for a year, whatever. They would be a great resource. I think they would do it if they were just asked. Because oftentimes, again, we as elders, the tendency is, hey, you know what, I can do that. I'll go ahead and take care of that one. Am I right? Phil, am I right? That's our tendency, is we tend to do that. So pray that the elders are quick to look for other people that can help eliminate some of that load that they carry. And I recognize, again, that there's not everything that can be eliminated, nor should it be. But we need to be praying that we would help them identify people that can take on some of that task. Finally, here's the last one. Pray for their unity within their meetings. Don't read between the lines on this. There isn't. You don't have to do that. There is unity in the meetings. Do we always agree on everything? No, we don't. But I will tell you that it's not like it's a huge, major deal. Oh, I totally disagree. That isn't that. It may be a little bit, hey, we thought about maybe trying it this way instead. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. Let's pray about that and talk about it next week. We come back. Boom, we're going to tweak it just a little bit. That's how many decisions eventually end. So when I say pray for their unity, I'm not in any way insinuating there is disunity. Far be it. There is great unity in the elders, and we want to continue to pray for that. And in fact, I wrote this down. Sin is crouching at the door. Satan would love nothing better than to see lack of unity within our elders. Throughout the pages of Scripture and in history, we see a constant barrage of attacks against the leadership of churches. That's not anything unusual. To have disunity in a church, sadly, and I've been to this church, 32 years. So I haven't really experienced this a whole lot, just so you know. But most of you have been in several churches. Most of you have witnessed disunity in churches. And you know what that looks like. Congregation split. I mean, I even heard about, goodness, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, two people that were the pastors of one church, they were fighting over who was going to preach, and there was a split in the church, and I don't mean they left yet, but both preachers got in the same pulpit and started yelling and screaming their sermons out to the same congregation. You think that's unity? That's disunity. That's what that looks like. So we need to continue to pray for their unity. Pray that the elders will lead us well. Pray that the elders will continue to search the Scriptures for the answers, for the principles that are there. I have been really, and a lot of you know this, I've been challenged and taxed this past year because it's real easy for Mark just to want to espouse his opinion because I can do it really easily. But my opinion means, and I think Phil preached this morning a little bit, my opinion means nothing if it's not based upon the Word of God. So I need to be able to mine the depths, the riches of the Scripture and search out for those principles, for those specific Scriptures to apply them to the lives of people. Because without that, then I'm just giving my opinion, and who cares about that? Honestly, who cares? People want to know the Word of God. You want to have the Word of God applied to your life. That's what we have the elders for, and many of you for as well, that know the Scriptures, that can take us to a principle, that can take me to a specific Scripture that applies to that. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. Boy, I've mined that a lot in the last several years because of working with youth. I think JP had to take off already, but our youth workers, and many of them are here, they have to know that text of those texts of Scripture well. So be praying for our elders, be praying for our deacons this year that they serve well. And you guys, I'll tell you honestly, I know that Steve Gish touched on it. He used a word that I loved, by the way, it's the word shock absorber. That was such a helpful word to me. And I just appreciate our deacons so much that when something happens within the elders in terms of whatever it is, a decision that they make, and a congregant goes off to a deacon, I mean, honestly, to complain about it or whatever, that those deacons can be the shock absorbers for that and say, well, you know what? Let's continue to pray about that. You know, if I were a deacon, let's pray about that, and let's just kind of search the scripture. Let's find out from our elders, you know, based upon what scripture did they come up with this reason. What are their thoughts on something like this? Let's find out before we just start having an attitude against them, because that's easy to do. That's easy to do. If you want to get falsely accused, become an elder. It'll happen. I don't mean that jokingly. I meant that dead seriously. If you want to be falsely accused, become an elder, because it will happen. It's happened. It's happened to me, falsely accused. And you just go, what? And the tendency is you want to go, oh, I'm going to straighten this out right now. You know, you want to just fix it. But you have to just let it go and just say, Lord, you know what? You take care of that. I appreciated your text this morning, Phil. Where are we at? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. The Lord will take care of that. The Lord will judge that at a different time. Let it go, Mark. And I've had to pray. I know some of you guys had to pray for me, Mark, because, you know, my tendency is to want to jump back and go on the attack. But I have to say, Lord, you take care of that. I've got to let that go. I got to let it go. So those are some ways you can pray for the elders. And I know those are lots of different ways. But they love you guys because we love you guys dearly. I can say that as a whole group, and I know they've told you that individually. But just be praying for our elders. They take on a tough task. It's taxing on them, but they do it with great joy. And so I'm not stepping down because it's been taxing on me. Just so you know, that's not it. Because I have great joy in doing it. Sound good? All right, let me pray, and then I think Jerry's going to come up and lead us in a song. Father, thank you just for our time this evening, for a look into your word, a way to pray for the elders and for our deacons, the people that sacrifice so much. And Father, I know that there are a lot of people in our congregation, probably safe to say pushing 400, that also sacrifice in the ministries they are involved in. And that literally is every one of us. Father, we ask that you would continue to encourage us, continue to reassure us of the joy that is before us, that we can enter into that rest that Christ talked about. Father, thank you for each one of our elders, each one of our deacons. Father, we ask that you would do a wonderful work with them this year, that it may be a joy for them to continue to serve. Father, cause us to come alongside them and just give us a task. Give us something to do, some way to relieve them of the burden that they bear. We thank you and we love Christ. These things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.